So welcome to Office Hours. It is 4 p.m. now, so we're going to go ahead and get started. If you have questions, anything you would know or ask about NEOS, please drop it in the Office Hours text chat that's above the one that you're currently in, and I'll answer it in the order that they appear. Any questions that you have? We have two currently, so I'll go ahead and get started with those two questions. So firstly, from Aragabus, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, but I don't think I am. They said, how does NEOS manage the downloaded assets? Downloaded assets are stored in what's called your cache. If you go to the following folder, link which I have just been working on today, actually, it talks about the locations of both of those folders, because sometimes those get confused. There's two folders. There's the cache, which stores temporary copies of assets downloaded when you're using NEOS, and the database stroke data folder, which stores a local copy of items and things that you are saving. So do keep those two changes in mind. So they're downloaded to your cache, and that's simply so that like you don't have to download them again. Let's say, for example, you join an EO session every single day with your best friend and they have a particular avatar. You don't want to download the avatar every single day, so we save it to your cache so we can pick it up from that cache if you have it. It means your friend loads faster. That's also why if you see new people, their avatars will load slower because you don't have them in your cache. Moving forwards to Scrainy's question, what can you tell us about future updates? I have nothing to tell you about future updates. There's a bunch of stuff that is obviously always being worked on. For those who are like, the news team are on strike. If I was on strike, would I really be sat here with 32 people listening to me and answering questions? No. We're still doing stuff, but for future updates, we have no announcements. Please do check the announcements channel for any updates on that whole mess. There we go. We're out of questions. And Adia Shark has just... trumped that we're out of questions with a question, which is totally fine. That's the point of this situation. They are asking, does the cache have auto-clearing? It doesn't currently, and that does lead to the cache sort of inflating a lot. Feel free to clear the cache. Do not clear the database or data folder, though, if you can help it. But feel free to clear the cache whenever you would like. I am aware of other techniques and things that will clear the cache. Some people have got like batch jobs or sort of scheduled tasks or things like that. Some people have got calendar alerts to go clear it. Some people even got mods which they have created or installed which will do it for them automatically. It is entirely up to you though. The cache is also stored within a file system within Windows, if you're on Windows here, that is designed for temporary files as well. So some... applications and some parts of Windows will clear that temporary directory for you. That's why it's in there. The temporary directory is like explicitly, if a developer is using that folder, they know explicitly that the stuff in there cannot always be guaranteed to be in there. That's the point of the temporary folder. The other operating systems such as Linux, etc., they also have a temporary directory, but I don't know much about those. It's been a while since I've been on Linux. I think that is... Dia's question, so moving on to Arugabus's again. They have another question, which is some parts of NEOS cannot be translated. Where do I report that? Go to the NEOS locale for GitHub repository, and make an issue there. Try not to make an issue for like everything that can't be translated, because we'll be there for like forever. But if there's something there that you feel will be good to be translated, do put it there. Things that are not suitable to go there are things like Logix nodes. We don't have the capability to translate those yet. But if there's just like a loose floating string that exists somewhere, we can probably get that translated. A good example being, I was working on the, this was months and months ago, but I was working on the create directory dialog. That's when you like create a directory in your inventory. And I realized it was not translatable, and it was easy. It was like another couple of lines of code to expose translation strings for that. So I did that. But I did that because I was touching that code. So do keep that in mind. It's not like intentional, it's just like to update it such that it's translatable, we have to touch it. And if it's a complicated string, such as Logix, then we need to do a lot of work to make it translatable, hence why Logix is not translatable. Translation gets complicated sometimes. Moving forwards to Coles' question, which says, what do you think of user management systems? Logix that puts each user in their own slot and tries to keep things they spawn within them. Do you advise against having these pre-installed in published worlds? I advise you have them in pre-installed in published worlds. They're fantastic at controlling the craziness, which is people's disrespect of your world. That's truly what it is sometimes. I mean, it's not usually, but like sometimes it is. Like I go in world sometimes and there's just like a absolute tidal wave of crap in the world that people have just left and forgotten. Clean up after yourself, please. If you spawn a gun that you're no longer using, don't just drop it in the world. Clean it up. For creators as well, the best thing that you can do to be compatible with those systems is to go ahead and use the local user space node rather than the root slot node whenever you're reparenting something. It is literally a, you won't notice the difference from a creating point of view 99% of the time. Just swap uses of the root slot node with the local user space node and you'll be good. Local user space node refers to the user, the slot which a user is parented to, and not the root slot. So if you created a world management system where Colza spawns in the world, they get their own slot, they get parented to it. If Colza's object uses set parent with root slot, it would parent, I don't know, weapons, arrows, grenades to the root slot. But if it used local user space, all of their weapons, arrows, grenades, etc., would be parented to the Colza user slot, enabling a world management system to clean up effectively once they were gone. And then again, just for reiteration, clean up after yourself, please. Like, please. I feel like I should like meme it a little bit more, like get a 3D model of a toy chest and just like put it in the world and like put a user management system in there and detect when there's more than like 20 items abandoned in a user slot, like spawn a toy chest and be like, it's time to tidy up. Like with a gif of me waggling my finger or something. It's time to tidy up. Or waggles finger. Or you'll go on the naughty step. Moving forwards, Zaffold Being says, dumb question. There are zero questions in the entirety of this Discord which are dumb. If you have asked the same question every single day for an entire year, someone will answer you. It's not dumb. Like, Neos is complicated. We're all learning together. Let's make sure that we get that correct. The question that they're asking is, do you need to port forward to stream to Twitch inside of Neos? No. You don't need to port forward to do most things inside Neos. You can change some of your network settings to be a little bit easier to join to from other users, but we do have systems in place that mean that you don't really need to port forward at all. If you're having a particular issue with Twitch-related streaming stuff, please go ahead and ask it more directly. Rugabus has another question here, which is the free 25GB storage still available for people who make locales? I don't know. I noticed yesterday that the locale repository had a little bit of neglect going on there, which is understandable because we're not currently doing updates. But what kind of like tugged at my heartstrings, if you like, to make me kind of fix that yesterday was I noticed that two separate people had translated properly, as in a manual translation rather than a machine translation, the game into Chinese. And I thought, if we've got two people doing that substantial work, then we just need to handle it. So I merged all applicable merges that could be merged just so that we didn't have that happen again. I don't want people doing potentially weeks worth of work that we're then accidentally ignoring. Even if we don't intend to sort of make an update right now, we can at least say like, hey, the Chinese translation has been done once, maybe work together on improving it, but don't do it separately. But it seems like that's what actually happened. Two people separately did the translation from scratch. And I'm just like, that shouldn't be bad. That shouldn't happen. That's like a waste of time. They'll resolve it, I'm sure. All right, moving onwards, we have a question from Thermo. Is there a BHaptics integration? Yes. BHaptics is entirely integrated into the game. You just need to make sure that the BHaptics software is on and running, that you've tested it, you've got buzzes on your BHaptics stuff before you launch Neos, and then it'll be in there and working. The problem that you might have with the BHaptics integration, though, is that not a lot of stuff inside Neos supports it from a development point of view inside the game. Inside the game, objects need to basically say, hey, I would like to be BHaptics. I would like to be a BHaptics doodad. Please buzz haptics when I come near you. It should by default work with other people's hands so they can like touch, poke, you know, prod you, etc. But you can also make objects work with BHaptics. If you'd like an example of that, I have tutorial videos on my channel, or you can go ahead and visit Sojourner's Island, made by the Neos team, which has a bunch of haptics integrations that are, you know, is actually an event to sort of showcase that we had BHaptics. It is not OSC, and we do not have OSC support. Moving forward, Specs says, I would very much like to add port forwarding to my router to make it easier for users to join me. What port range would I need for that? It's not port forwarding, it's a NAT type. If you go to the wiki, I'll get the link in just a second. The networking information page has some information about that. It's just making sure that your NAT settings are good. We are, like, it's 2022. No one should be, like, manually port forwarding unless, I don't know, they're playing, like, Half-Life or something. So there's a setting right at the bottom there of recommended, here we go, American versus British in my brain. I live in America, but I'm British. Recommended router configuration, or if you're American, recommended router configuration. Both is like good. Fine. Strangely enough, British people will call the tool thing, and you know, that you do for woodwork or whatever, the router there, we will call that a router. But for anything else, it's root or router. It's very confusing. Yeah, I went to a woodworking class once and we got that, the router, and I'm like, oh, okay. And I was very confused when people started talking about routers. I'm like, why are people plugging this woodworking tool to their internet? That doesn't make any sense. Very interesting, though. Moving forwards, Stifle says, I was curious about the answer to this question back on October 21st, 2019. Oh, dearie me. Let's get out some sepia-toned cameras and stuff. You made a tutorial with segment mesh and slot segment mesh and asked, why can't slot segment mesh be collapsed into segment mesh? And later stated that would be a question for the Neos team. Since you are a part of the Neos team after the video is made, what's the answer to almost three-odd question? There are a lot of cases where accidentally for, in some cases, very valid reasons, but for some cases, just sort of like either a combination of forgetful reasons or just time pressure, different things have been created that really don't need to exist, and they need to be sort of collated back together. I was trying to think of that word, collate. I was thinking staple, but like, no, staple and collate. Collate is the word I was looking for. So slot segment mesh and segment mesh are a good example of that, as are our myriad of PBS shaders. Geens wants to eventually collapse all of those into one PBS shader with all the settings exposed in a way that makes sense, such that we don't have, like, we have so much duplicate code for PBS rendering in our shader files, it's sort of crazy. Another example where I want to do it is the axis aligner components. They all work completely differently from a technical point of view. I mean, from a functional point of view as well, they do different alignments. But from a technical point of view, it seems none of them can agree about the best way to update themselves. The axis aligner does it in a way that is not performant. The object grid aligner does it in a way that is performant or isn't. I can't really remember. It would be great if we could just sort of collapse all that together into an aligner component, which then had a method that would also allow additional methods for alignment to be sort of written well. That's a really good example of sort of refactoring, where we talk about that sometimes. It's like, what if this was one component that had a method of alignment, and then it'd be a lot easier to sort of establish that the behavior was consistent across all of those components rather than vastly different, because they all work differently for some reason. Moving forwards, Zaffod's got back to me with a question. They say, when I go to hook up the WebSocket plugin and try to connect it to Neos, it all says disconnected, even though as far as where the IP import is correct. Ah, okay. Double check which version of the WebSocket plugin that you are using. There is a complicated matter that is unfolding. Basically, OBS WebSocket, the plugin, just rolled over to version 5. And version 5 is not compatible with Neos currently. That is like probably like the highest priority in terms of like my tutorial item that I'll be fixing when I'm able to, because 5 is incompatible with earlier versions of the OBS WebSocket protocol. Additionally, for added insult to injury, OBS Studio versions, which are greater than, I don't know, right now, I think it's like, I don't know the number, but they will by default include OBS WebSocket in them. So if you have downloaded and installed OBS Studio from the website, like within the past sort of few weeks, it'll probably have OBS WebSocket 5 installed in it. So you'll go ahead and have to replace that with a version before 5, and then it will work. If it's 5 or later, it will not work. If you are running OBS on the same computer that you are running Neos on to use it, you don't need to change the port or IP address settings. I have not changed those since 2019. They just work. You also don't need port forwarding, because if it's a local connection, doesn't matter. It's just like, oh, that's me. That's my computer. Whoop! And it just connects. It doesn't need to go out to the network. Right, moving onwards. Dark Witch Dreams, welcome to the community. Because they only just recently joined. That's why I'm saying welcome. Sometimes I should read and then answer, but sometimes I just like read and answer at the same time. They hope that this question is okay for the conversation. There are not many questions that are not okay for this conversation. If they're not okay, it's not like you've done something wrong. It's just like, hey, I'm not the right person to ask. But I'm sure that this question I haven't read yet is perfectly fine. They jumped into Neos. They haven't jumped into Neos yet, and the big reason is just how large and overwhelming it seems on top of the social anxiety. Is there somewhere you can point me that, or I should start to have it be less overwhelming? Yes. A good way to start and not be overwhelming is to make a couple of sacrifices, but these are good sacrifices. So sacrifice one is pick an avatar that's already in the game. Don't think about importing your VRChat avatar if you've come from VRChat or whatever avatar. Just pick one that's in the game. And then number two is don't build. We get a lot of sort of questions and comments about, like, why don't you have a non-building mode, right? You'd go to the start of Neos and you'd hit play and it would say, like, I want to build, I don't want to build. The really only difference between those two versions of the game would be we would disable the ability for you to open up the building UI. But strangely, you can do that yourself with a mentality shift, right? You can say, I don't want to build. Therefore, I won't spawn the inspector tip or the logics tip. I won't spawn those. And I don't want to build. And then you can just sit in front of a mirror, or if that's what you're doing, watch videos, whatever you want to do, you don't have to build. And then that'll make it vastly, vastly less overwhelming. You pick an avatar that's already in the game, and then you just don't build. And then it should be less overwhelming. Because you don't need to learn anything there. You should just, you know, chill out, watch videos, and hang out with people. You may have some difficulty finding open sessions that are not technical. That's something that I wish our community culture could change about. Majority of sessions you go into, someone, if they're not talking about technical matters to do with Neos, they're talking about technical matters to do with just, like, other stuff. You know, go in there and they're just like, well, I heard that the NVIDIA 380 is better than the 390 due to, like, the paralyzation of the neutron flow to into the flux capacitor. And you're just like, yeah, I'm inebriated and I just want to, like, lie in front of a mirror and watch videos. Like, it's sometimes difficult to get that kind of setup. So there you go. At the point where you want an avatar set up, if you know that you're going to struggle or be overwhelmed, it might be worth sort of booking time with a mentor. There's no official way to do this. But if you find someone with a funny green badge in the Discord or in-game, you can say, like, hey, Tuesday, 3 p.m., would you help me get the avatar set up for me and do most of the work for me? Because I don't want to get overwhelmed. And they'd be happy to sort that out, right? They'll need some files from you, of course, to get it done. But, like, they'll take care of it for you. There's always two ways of learning in Neos. And it's great if you're explicit with a mentor about your intentions there. I've seen both of them, and especially with the recent sort of uptick in players. There are players who are like, can you help me set up my avatar and show me how to do it? Or can you help me set up my avatar because I want to be comfortable in Neos? Those are two different scenarios. Like, they don't want to know how it works. They just want an avatar that they're comfortable with. And then once they're comfortable, maybe they'll have an opportunity to learn. But they don't necessarily need to have the opportunity to learn. They don't necessarily want to learn. And both of those are okay. Usually in other circles, such as, like, learning programming, that's not okay. Like, if you went to, like, I don't know, a learning programming community on Discord and you're like, could someone write code for me? We'd be like, no, because you won't learn. But, like, if it's your avatar, totally understandable. You just want to feel comfortable inside the game. Someone will help you out. We had lots of insight from mentors there. Holy's fantastic. Froppy, who is a mentor and a moderator, so they've got, like, all of, not as many badges as me, but, like, all the badges. They're very helpful as well. Slink is very helpful. Specs as well. Like, everyone's helpful here. Just ask questions. Yeah. You've not managed to complete the collection there, Froppy. If you get on the team, you'll still be missing one. Yeah, it does unfortunately sound like jumping in is the best start, but just jump in with that mindset, right? The mindset being, I don't need to build, and I can use one of the existing avatars, and then just, like, have an explore. No, you don't. Learn things you should go is a good way of looking at it, or don't. Like, if you just, like, I don't want to learn, totally fine. It's totally fine. Rigibus has another question here, which is, what is the mobile-friendly toggle? Sorry, I'm giggling, not because of the question, but because of that checkbox. So that checkbox is basically, like, a little sign that has no validation or features or functionality about it at all. If you turn that on, you are basically raising a little sign that says, I'm a mobile-friendly session. And whether you actually are a mobile-friendly session or not doesn't matter. So it's the equivalent of basically, you know, standing outside of a coffee shop and saying, we have free coffee. And then you go inside the coffee shop and they don't actually have free coffee. It doesn't mean anything. We did want it to mean something originally. It just didn't. it is crazy there. It's also sort of paired with checkboxes that actually do stuff. For example, the unsafe mode checkbox will enable unsafe mode, and that does actually make stuff happen. For those who are worried about unsafe mode, it's quite difficult to make unsafe mode not safe, counter to its name. But the moment you check unsafe mode, it'll force your session to LAN only. You can thank me for unsafe mode. I caused it to happen. Let's see what we got for other questions here. Oh, Gina, hello. I've been loading sessions that are taking a lot more time than a year ago. Any recommendations or tips to optimize world loading and assets near spawn first? There is nothing that you can do to optimize the order in which assets load in right now. If you're having slowness, but you actually have an issue open for assets loading slowly, there is a sort of community fix for that, which is to just clear your cache, but I don't understand why that makes assets load faster, but hey, maybe it'll work for you. But that might speed it up. But no, we have no load control right now. Even if you have stuff like disabled checkbox-wise or like culling zone-wise, it's still got a load. It's just, it's a problem. We got to like fix it somehow later. Rebus, if you asked 500,000 questions, I would answer them all and be totally happy with that. So don't feel bad about that. This is question time. If you answer, you ask one, fantastic. If you ask 50, fantastic. The that is the cache, Slinker. If it's in local temp Solarax Neos, that's the cache. Oh, if you're forcing the cache path argument, sometimes the app path, the other one, will still refer to the old cache path in its saved settings, which means that even though you've done cache path, it won't listen to it, which is really annoying. And it actually caused me to just rewrite the relocate Neos folder guide again, because I'm like, wait a moment. The only real way to make sure that data path and cache path are listened to in their entirety is to nuke everything and start again, both cache and data. That's the only way to make sure that they are listened to. So that's probably what's going on there with Zlinker's issue. It looks like Arugabus's question about scaling working on desktop is answered. Froppy says, it's control shift and mouse wheel for scaling enabled. That will scale you on desktop. I'm seeing a lot of comments on my YouTube videos about this as well, so I want to state it as well. There should be no reason why features work strangely between our platforms that aren't stated somewhere. So I had a comment which is like, I guess publishing worlds on Linux doesn't work. No. Publishing worlds on Linux should work. If it doesn't, that's a bug. Please provide a log if you're listening. I did comment on the YouTube comment with that as well. And then someone else said, is it known that Logix doesn't work on Linux? I'm like, no, Logix should work on Linux. If you're having an issue, please let me know. Let's figure it out. Froppy says that Arugabus said that scaling objects doesn't work. It only scales one time and stops working. Well, I'm on desktop right now, so if you just give me a second, I will go ahead and see if I can reproduce that. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to create a new 3D model box. And I know you can't see this. I'm just describing what I'm doing to fill dead air time. And I'm moving it around, and I've made it smaller with scale, and I'm letting go of it, and I'm going to grab it again, and I'm making it bigger. If you can describe the exact sequence of button pushes you're doing, it might be that. It also might be just something to do with the actual object that you're scaling. Do remember that certain objects cannot be scaled by design. It's actually a checkbox that you can enable on the object. And if it's not enabled, there's usually a good reason for it, although sometimes there isn't a reason for it, and someone's just forgotten to check that on. Let's move forwards. Eggroll Force says, is there a way to drag stuff around in your dash in screen mode? I don't know. I've never been able to get UI edit mode to work in screen mode, so I'm just like, I don't know. Easton, if Easton's here, they might know. They're the desktop national treasure. I'm going to tag them. There we go. Let me just... Without a mod, right? The mod didn't exist, and I'm pretty sure Easton was doing it without a mod. All right, anyway, moving forwards, that's that question's answered. Zakutole says, are graphics lowering mods safe? I don't know. I am reasonably certain that they are, but I cannot say that they are, because mods are unsupported by the Neos team, if that makes sense. I would suggest asking the Neos modding community what they think, but I can't answer that officially. Zaphod says, one more thing. How do I get the screen to pop up in OBS? I think Froppy answered that with the like tools, WebSocket server settings. I don't really know what you mean by screen, though. If you can clarify. If you mean the game screen, just use like a game capture or window capture, whichever works for you. I alternate between game capture and window capture because OBS is fun, as are window capture standards. Like, for example, if you try and capture Chrome and you're playing media on Netflix, like, regardless of what tab it is, Netflix will just, like, blank out or something or stop playing, or Spotify's like, you're recording, I'm going to pause. It's just like, guys, what are we doing? And then there's, like, HDCP. That's a thing that, like, makes protected content go through a HDMI driver. And I'm just like, stop making standards. Okay, let's get back on track to some sort of sense of normalcy. Back to questions. Magic says, what would you say is the most underused, undervalued feature that should be highlighted to new users? Honestly, not building. Like, I know we just talked about it with the sort of, you know, questions of being overwhelmed, but not building. Like, it's very common for the mentality to be, okay, you've set up your avatar, now you need to start building, which then leads into the mentality of, well, now I've started building, I'll make myself a custom multi-tool and a custom inspector. And I'm just like, no, go play games, go experience stuff, go play Cabin of the Seasons, go look at the Neos Fester it's running. By the way, there's a festival running made by the Japanese community. It's amazing. There are booths, there are worlds, go look at it. You know, you don't need to build, I guess, would be the most underutilized feature of Neos. And don't make a custom multi-tool, just use the standard tools, please. So Safeholt has now further clarified, what source does the in-game Neos camera use in sources on OBS? It doesn't. Okay, so all the OBS integration that we have inside Neos does is it integrates with OBS WebSocket to send a signal saying, start recording, stop recording, or start streaming, stop streaming. That's all it does. The camera itself, when you enable the mirror to display mode, what it will do is it will take the camera's view and it will mirror that to the on-screen UI. So if you have your headset on, enable mirror to display, peek under your headset through the nose hole, like you all do. I know you all do it. You peek through the nose hole and look at your screen. You'll see that it's displaying the camera view and not your view. It's separated those two. And then in OBS, you just capture using game capture or window capture the window of Neos, and then it will display whatever the camera is recording inside OBS. And that's how the magic works, right? And it's only available, like some people are like, why doesn't mirror display work in desktop? And it's because it would be incredibly jarring to try and make that work in desktop. It might be possible if Neos could, like, I don't know, spawn two display windows of Neos, and then one would be the mirrored and one wouldn't be the mirrored, and then you'd capture the mirrored one and play on the non-mirrored one, but at that point you're, like, running the game twice. I mean, which you kind of already are doing with mirrored display, but, like, the glory about how it works is because you've got a headset on your face that's got screens inside it. Well, usually a screen, sometimes two screens. I never remember which headsets use two screens and which headsets use one screen that's just sort of got a black bar in the middle that you can never see because it's behind the lenses, but whatever. That's that question done. Alexis, are there any secret menus or buttons that mods or devs have in Neos? There are many, none of which I can remember right now. Well, I guess there's one, like the world browser has some extra stuff if you're on the team, which is, you know, subject to change, but I can remove a world from the world browser or feature a world or add a tag if the world's having difficulties in searching from the world browser. There's one other place, but I can't really remember where it is. None of the like stuff that the team have access to in game is like scary or secret or, you know, can't be told. It's all like stuff that we should have access to and permission-y stuff. For example, and I'm going to say this on record, and I'm also going to say, prove me otherwise if you think so. The team, including mods, do not have access to private sessions. And the reason behind this is because when you start a private session, we don't tell the Neos cloud where it is. And you can verify this using Wireshark or like a man-in-the-middle proxy, whatever you want. Like, there is no information other than you are in a private session. We don't know where that private session is. For us to join that private session, we need to, first of all, know where it is, so like what IP address or setting it's on. And then we also need like an invite tokeny thing, which again, you can validate using Wireshark, right? So I don't want to see in like 2 or 3 years people going like, yeah, but like mods and team members can join your private sessions. Go validate it. Get Wireshark. Get a man in the middle proxy. Prove it. Like, we know that you're in a private session, but that's the equivalent of me saying to Froppy, hey, I'm at home right now. So Froppy now knows that I'm at home, but they don't know what I'm wearing or what I'm eating or what I'm looking at or what I'm doing, but they know that I'm in my house. So we know that you're in a private session, but we don't know that anything's happening there or where it even is. Which is the same. Froppy doesn't know where I live. Unless Froppy does, in which case, Froppy, please don't attack me. No. Anyway, moving onwards, back to some sense of normalcy again. I think they do still take a 360 preview, and Spec said private sessions don't take a 360 preview. I think they still do, and the reason behind that is depending on which way you get the invite, you'll be able to see that 360 view before you actually join. And then even in worlds that you're in, which are private sessions, they appear in the world browser just for you. And you'll be able to see 360 previews of that world just for you because you have an invite in the world browser. Or more specifically, anyone that has an invite and capability of joining that session should see it in the world browser. But again, yeah, if you'd like to challenge that, then Wireshark, man-in-the-middle proxy, ask the modding community, have a look. Moving forward, Zorigabus says, is it possible to edit UV maps inside Neos? No. Mesh data is mostly static. There are exceptions to that. For example, you can remove blend shapes by baking your blend shapes. Do you know baking your blend shapes will improve the performance of your avatar more than any other thing, particularly if you're a Rex avatar? So please do bake your blend shapes. But that edits mesh data is what I mean. There's other stuff that you can do to edit mesh data, such as, you know, like fiddling normals, recalculating tangents, stuff like that. By the way, for 3D models there, what's the difference between a normal and a tangent? I have no idea. Anyway, you can't edit UV maps. Moving forwards to Screener's question. Some of my friends list had the username changed, but I still see their old name on my contacts list. Other people see their new name. That is probably a quirk for how the friends system works. Please open a GitHub issue on that one. It will be quite low priority, but it's important that we have stuff like that logged so we can take a look at it. I know that the other one is like sometimes the first message that you receive from someone will say it's coming from 1970, and people always joke. That's just like a bug with like how you receive that first message and how it tries to get the data to you as soon as possible. That means that it doesn't have a valid date, so it displays the default date, which happens to be the first date that can exist in computing, which happens to be in 1970. For those who are unaware, your entire computer right now, every single computer, including your phone, and like if you've got an Internet of Things thermostat, it's also doing it. It's counting the number of seconds since a specific date in 1970 because we decided that's how time works. I don't particularly know why it was 1970, but that's how computers work. When you synchronize your clock, which is something that you need to do to make sure that Neos connects correctly, what you do is you ask another server, usually an NTP server, but that basically means network time protocol. But basically, you ask another server, how many seconds has it been since 1970? And that computer says, it's been this many seconds. And you go, oh shit, I had this, my bad. And then you adjust it. That's how time synchronization works. It's silly. Also, time synchronization breaks in 2038, but don't worry about it. Like, there'll be a solution by 2038. January 1st, 1970. Yeah, I can remember it's January 1st. Yeah, it's January 1st, 1970. It's called Unix time. It is fun. I used to be a timekeeper. Lex says the Windows epoch is different. It is different, but it's still counting number of seconds since a specific date. Yes, procedural meshes are different, as I just says down there. That's another example. Nat says, is the position of the 360 preview a findable slot so I could say throw a box or something over it? No. If you don't have any of the thumbnail components, there's a video tutorial on my channel about how to use those, then what it does is it asks each user in the world to take a 360 periodically, and that usually comes from your head or near your head, I can't remember which, and then each person in the session is taking that picture, and then it, the host of the session asks all the users in the session, hey, who has the most recent headshot? And then someone goes, me, pick me. And then that's the session thumbnail. Unless you use the components, in which case it's a slot that you can find. I think that's all the questions we have. Lucas has a answer to the normal versus tangent thing. So thank you so much for this, because I didn't know. I could, of course, Google it, but I'm in office hours, so thank you for looking it up for me. So the normal of the mesh is the forward channel, blue, of the normal map. The tangent of the mesh is the right channel, red, of the normal map. There's also bitangent, which is the up green channel, but this is the last one that... But this last one can be calculated by a cross product of the others. Yep, I understand that. Excellent. Thank you. Thank you, Lucas. I believe that's all the questions we have. If you have any further questions or danger, you are the last person who can type a question. Log group is confusing me a lot. Yeah, me too. I don't think it works correctly. I think we need to do some more work with it. Other people have used it, but like it has moods. I was trying to think of the word. Like it has nuances. That's the word I was thinking of. But I ended up with like it has moods. Log group is like I might work. I might not. I need to like look up maybe document its existing behavior so we can understand what needs to happen. Like if you were to go speak to Fruits and be like, oh, what do you need to do to log group? He'd like launch into like a very complicated explanation of plans he has for that component. But I want to get the current behavior sorted so that we understand what it can do today. And with that, I believe we're done. So I'm going to go ahead and end here. If you have any further questions, please go ahead and direct message me them or put them in the questions and help section. Do remember that we're all here to help you. Look for a green question mark above someone's help, above someone's head. They will help you out greatly. And above all else, clean up after yourself in all out. Thank you.